What a joy it is to be in this place. Mylon Hayes family, they not only sing real pretty, but they look real pretty, don't they? These two young men, they look good. This young lady looks good, and Mylon and Wendy look good. And did y'all enjoy them tonight? Didn't they do such a great job? Praise the Lord. Well, it is my distinct joy and honor to be back at Morningside. I think this is the third year in a row, and it is just my delight to come down to Valdosta and be part of this South Georgia Bible Conference. I understand for the 35th year in a row, and everyone knows that I love Dr. Wayne Robertson. I love Miss Beth. I've not got a chance to talk to you yet, Miss Beth, but I love you too. And they are gracious hosts. They always treat me so kindly. They extend hospitality, and they make me feel so at home and so welcome. And likewise, the congregation here at Morningside, you are always so sweet to this preacher. You smile at me. You used to shake my hand. You don't shake my hand anymore. But you do wave at me, and we fist bump and all those kinds of things. I'm just going to go ahead and tell you what I tell our folks back in Rockmart: COVID has messed everything up. But we are in God's house tonight. You came, I came, I believe the Lord's here, and thank you so much for being in this place tonight. Herman Parker, Mike Stone, Gerald Harris, Wayne Robertson, Randy Mullinax, Mike Everson, all of these men are my heroes. I admire them, I respect them, I look up to them, and I am just the least of the least tonight. I am the smallest one on the lineup, but I am glad to be part of this in some small way. Brother David, I missed the choir. I'm not sure where Brother David is, but he gave me a choir CD last year, and David, I listened to that thing over and over and over. Just about wore it out. I bought a new truck a few months ago, and it doesn't even have a CD player in it. So I don't know what I'm going to do, but maybe next year the choir will assemble again. And Mylon Hayes, it's so good to be with y'all. Will y'all come to our church and sing? We got a lot of good singers at our church, and they always call me bossy because I'm always telling them what to sing. I came in tonight, first time I've ever met the Mylon Hayes family, and immediately started bossing them around, telling them what to sing. But that song they did, Oh What a Morning, wasn't that good? I love that singing. And that anchor, that's got something on it. I don't know who wrote it, but whoever wrote it, that was an anointed, inspired song. It's good to be here tonight. I want you to take your copy of the Word of God now and be finding with me the Gospel of Mark. Mark's Gospel, Chapter 9. I would invite you to be finding with me now the 9th chapter of the book of Mark. In just a few moments, we're going to begin our reading at verse number 19, and we'll read down to verse 27. Mark chapter 9, and tonight we're going to dial up verses 19 through 27. I want to tell a Bible story, if I may. I love narrative preaching. That's what I want to do tonight. I just want to give you the Bible account. I want to give you the narrative. I want to give you the story. And then a little later we'll go back and we'll make some application. There's a lot happening in Mark chapter 9. There's a lot going on in this chapter. There's a lot of verses here, and for the sake of time, I won't read them all, but if you would allow me, I want to set the stage of this story. I want to give you the background. I want to give you the context. In Mark chapter 9, our Lord Jesus goes to a mountain. It's called the Mountain of Transfiguration. But he doesn't go alone, Brother Wayne. He takes three disciples with him. That inner circle, Peter, James, and John. And the Bible says, while on this mountain, our Lord was transfigured before them. Literally, it was a metamorphosis. And that which was on the inside of Jesus came to the outside of Jesus. And our Lord was illuminated. He was lit up. He was shining in radiant splendor. He was shining in supernatural glory. And Peter, James, and John were basking in the glory of Jesus. They were eyewitnesses. They saw the glory of the Lord. Brother Randy, sometimes at our church, we have a great day. And the Holy Spirit manifests His presence. And it's tangible. And everyone there knows that God is meeting with His people. And the next day, on Monday, some of my pastor friends will ask me this question. Hey, did y'all have a good service yesterday? And I say, oh yeah, man, you should have been there. We got in the glory. On this day, Peter, James, and John got in the glory. Oh yeah, we had a glory hallelujah time. On this day, Peter, James, and John had a glory hallelujah time. But watch this. Not only were Peter, James, and John there, but two Old Testament characters showed up. Moses and Elijah were there. You say, wait a minute, Pastor, hold on. Moses has been dead for hundreds and hundreds of years, but the Bible says he was there. Elijah was taken up into heaven by a whirlwind, but the Bible says that Elijah was there. What a scene it must have been. But now here's the lesson, Brother Milan. You can't always stay on the mountaintop. You can't always hang out on the mountaintop. You can't live on the mountaintop. You have to go back down into the valley. You can't stay on the mountain peak. You have to go back into the low place. Let me say it this way. You have to go back to reality. You have to go back to the real world. So just a moment ago, a few moments earlier, Peter, James, and John were in the glory of God. But now they have to go back to the real world. But guess what? Jesus goes with them. And when they go back, there is a crowd of people. There's throngs of people. There's scribes and religious people. And everyone there is fussing and fighting and feuding and finger pointing. There is accusation, there's chaos, there's confusion, there's division, there's turmoil. That kind of sounds like the world we're living in today. And from this scene, a man comes forth. And he is a father. And his son has a devil. His son is demonically oppressed and possessed. He has an evil spirit. And Brother Wayne, the evil spirit causes this son to convulse and thrash about in seizures. It causes him to fall down on the ground and gnash his teeth and foam at the mouth. And this father, like any loving father, is heartbroken about it. He's helpless. He's hopeless. And he says, please, won't someone help me? Won't someone help my son? He's had an evil spirit. He's had a demon since he was just a little boy, just a little child. And this father comes before our Lord, and he says, I brought my son to the disciples looking for help, looking for hope, looking for deliverance, looking for healing to cast out this evil spirit. But they couldn't do anything. They were powerless. And then he turns to Jesus and says, "Sir, will you help me? Will you help my son?" And that's where our passage begins. Will you notice with me now, Mark chapter 9, beginning at verse number 19. Jesus answered him. He's talking to the father of the son. And he says, "O faithless generation." Right at the beginning, Brother Mike, our Lord makes an indictment. He says, "None of you have any faith. O faithless generation, how long do I have to be with you? How long shall I suffer you?" You know what Jesus was saying? How long am I going to have to put up with this? "Bring him unto me." Brother Mylon, I love that. "Bring me that son that has a devil. Bring me that boy that is demonically oppressed and possessed." Look at verse 20. "And they brought him unto Jesus. And when he saw him, straightway the Spirit tear him." Brother Randy, the Spirit knew who Jesus was. Our Lord has authority and dominion over all spirits. And the Bible says that this demon began to tear at this son. That is, he convulsed, he seizured, he thrashed about. And the Bible says in verse number 20, he fell on the ground and he wallowed foaming. And Jesus asked his father, "How long is it ago since this came unto him?" And he said, "He's had this devil since he was just a little boy." Just a little child. Look at verse 22. "And oft times it has cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him." Brother Wayne, let me tell you what I believe. I believe that this is a self-destructive spirit. I believe it's a suicidal spirit. And Satan wants to destroy this son. That's what the Bible says. To destroy him. Verse 22. "But Jesus, if thou canst." If you can. You better be careful saying to Jesus, "if you can." "If you can do anything, have compassion on us." That word compassion is your hurt in my heart. "Have compassion on us and help us." Verse 23. "Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believes." Verse 24. "Straightway," that means immediately, "the father of the child cried out, and with tears." Brother Mylon, you got two nice looking boys there. I've already said that. And here's a daddy that loves his son just like Mylon loves his. And the Bible says that he is with tears. He is crying. He is weeping. He is emotional. He is sobbing. And here's the part of the verse that I've never understood. Look what he says to Jesus. And he's just being honest. "Lord, I believe. Help thou my unbelief." In the same breath, Sister Beth, he says, "Lord, I believe, but I need you to help me with my unbelief." That verse has always perplexed me. It's always puzzled me. "Lord, I believe, but I'm having a hard time believing." Look at verse 25. "When Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him, thou dumb and deaf spirit," he can't hear, he can't speak. And Jesus says, "I charge thee, come out of him. And enter no more into him." And the spirit cried and rent him sore and came out of him, and he was as one dead, insomuch that many said, he's dead. But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. We read about a helpless, hopeless father who has a son with a devil, a demon, an evil spirit, oppressed, possessed. He can't seem to find help anywhere. No healing, no deliverance. Brings that boy to the disciples. They can't do a thing, so he brings him to Jesus. And what about that? Jesus cast out the devil and raises up this son. And I want to say tonight, here in Valdosta, Georgia, I have absolutely no problem believing every word of that story. I still believe in the miracles of God. I just believe it. But now, if we may, I want us to go back and focus on verses 23 and 24. I love what Jesus says. I'm just going to read this kind of in my language. Jesus says, if you can believe, all things are possible to you. Verse 24. This is the verse that kind of bothers me. And immediately the father of the child, he answers Jesus, cries out, he's weeping, he's sobbing, he's crying, and he says, Lord, I believe, help thou my unbelief. Before I was a pastor, nobody believes this, but I was a language arts teacher. And I learned in that language arts class what an oxymoron is. Not a moron, but an oxymoron. And it just simply means a contradiction of terms. That's really what it seems to be in verse number 24. I mean, the same breath, in the same sentence, in the same verse, this man says, Lord, I believe, but I'm struggling to believe. And years ago, when I had a little self-righteous streak in me, I thought to myself, well, I can't believe that man would say something like that to Jesus. I'd never say something like that to Jesus. And then I got to thinking about it. You might as well tell the truth to Jesus, because he already knows. Why not just be honest to him? And he's not the only one that has ever felt like that. You know who else? Me. And if you'll be honest tonight, you. Lord, I believe, but I'm struggling to believe. Lord, I believe, but I'm having a hard time believing. I'm struggling to believe. So with that thought in mind, I want to preach tonight for just a little while, Brother Randy, if God would help me on this subject. Lord, I believe, but help me to trust. There's a difference. Lord, I do believe, but I'm struggling to trust. Lord, I believe, but help me to trust. I know I'm moving around a lot, but I want you to get this the way the Spirit of God gave it to me. I'm going to make a confession tonight. Seems like I do this every Sunday at our church. Years ago, I would never tell anybody what I struggle with. Never let them see you sweat. That's what I was taught. And then someone taught me, why don't you just tell them that you've got problems too? Why don't you just share your weaknesses too? Why don't you just tell them that you've got struggles too? So tonight, let me just make a real transparent confession. Here goes. I believe God. I have absolutely no problem believing God. I just believe God. Tomorrow I turn 51. I was saved when I was 9. That means, Brother Mike, I've been saved for 42 years. I've been a believer. I mean, that's how I got in. What must I do to be saved? believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you'll be saved. And even before I got saved, I'm telling the truth, I believed. I believed the God of the Bible. I believed in Jesus. I would make a terrible atheist because I just believe. I don't question stuff. If it's in the Bible, even if I don't understand it, I just believe it. So I don't have trouble believing. I believe that God is the God of creation. He's the God that parted the waters of the Red Sea. He's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He's the God that sent Jesus, His Son, to die on the cross for our sins. He's the God that can heal the sick and raise the dead. I believe that God can do all those big things, but sometimes I have a hard time believing that God can do big things in me. I have no trouble believing that God gets involved in their situation in the Bible, but I have a hard time believing that God will get involved in my situation. So I came this way tonight to say to you, I believe. But you're looking at a pastor that's learning how to trust. Yeah, that's right. Am I the only one?
No, not at all.
I do believe, Brother Wayne. God knows my heart. I do believe. But day after day after day, I know where I'm going. I know about my future. I know about eternity. But right now, in 2020, in a mean world, sometimes I have a hard time trusting Him. Brother David, I love theology, and my theology is based on the Scripture. I believe it's the inspired, the inerrant, the infallible Word of God. And that's my foundation. But with me, songs are part of my theology. Whenever God gives me a sermon, He always seems to give me a song along with it. I love the songs of Zion. Here's one that I remember when I was just a boy. Trust and obey. For there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. John Stockton was a Methodist minister back in the 1800s, and he had an association with a gentleman named Ira Sankey. And Ira Sankey was D.L. Moody's music man in his evangelistic crusades. And Ira Sankey was looking for an altar call song, an invitation song that could be sung after Mr. Moody preached in those crusades. You know, we've got "Just As I Am." Well, he brought that petition to his friend, John Stockton. And John Stockton wrote a song with a very simple lyric. And this is what it said. Only trust Him. Only trust Him. Only trust Him now. He will save you. He will save you. He will save you now. I hear a modern worship song on the radio all the time, and this is what it says. When you don't move the mountains, I'm needing you to move. When you don't part the waters, I wish I could walk through. When you don't give the answers as I cry out to you, I will trust, I will trust, I will trust in you. Bill Gaither has written many, many gospel songs. I think I've seen every one of his videos. And years ago, I heard him sing this song. I believe, help thou my unbelief. I take the finite risk of trusting like a child. I believe, help thou my unbelief. I walk into the unknown, trusting all the while. Brother Wayne, long before Mr. Gaither penned those words, I believe, help thou my unbelief, the gospel writer Mark had already penned it down 2,000 years earlier. Here is a father, heartbroken, helpless, hopeless, got a son with a devil. Seems like no one knows what to do. So he brings him to Jesus and says, "Will you help me? Will you help my son?" And Jesus teaches him a lesson, I believe, about trust. So what I want to do now is just close by making three observations right there from the text. Make a note of this first one. It's what I call the definition of trust. The definition of trust. Well, what is trust? What is the meaning of trust? Let's define it. Go back to the passage and notice verse number 23. Jesus said unto this father, "If you can believe, all things are possible to him that believes." That word believe is the Greek word pistuo. And it means to commit. It means to trust. So there you have it, Brother Wayne. A correlation between believing and trusting. Very similar. But what I want to do tonight is make that distinction. What is the difference between believing and trusting? You'll find the word faith 336 times in the pages of Scripture. But now this is interesting, Brother Randy. You'll find the word faith just two times in the Old Testament. Just two times in the Old Testament. I checked it. Just two times in the Old Testament do you find the word faith. Faith seems to be a New Testament word. But the Old Testament word for faith seems to be trust. See if you recognize some of these Old Testament references of trust. Psalm 37 and verse 3. Trust in the Lord and do good. Psalm 56 verse 4. In God I will praise His word. In God I have put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do to me. Most of you should know this one. Proverbs chapter 3 verses 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your path. Isaiah 12 verse 2. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. And Brother Wayne, I like this one. Isaiah 26 verses 3 and 4. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on Thee, because he trusts in Thee. Trust in the Lord forever. I want to say, friend, tonight at Morningside, I want to make an announcement. I know you've been watching CNN. I know you've been watching Fox News. I know you see all the social media stuff. I know you're tired of it, because I'm tired of it too. But I want to say tonight, our good God in heaven is absolutely, totally, 100% trustworthy. He is worthy of our trust. I want to declare tonight, beloved, you can trust Him. As far as I know, on our coins and our currency, I know there's a crowd that wants to take it off, but there's still some words. Say it with me. In God we trust. So there is a correlation between believing and faith and trust. I thought about the acrostic for faith, F-A-I-T-H, forsaking all, I trust Him. But now, Pastor, you've not yet told us what trust is. I looked it up. This is what trust means. Hope, confidence, to be confident in Him. This is the way I define it. This is my definition. And I'm just a country preacher from Northwest Georgia. But this is what I believe trust is. It's the opposite of doubt. It is faith in action. It's getting in on faith. It's not just believing, but it's behaving. I wrote it down this way. I want to show you the difference. Belief is general. Trust is specific. Belief seems to be for a lot of people, but trust is for me. Belief is public. Trust is personal. Belief feels like a noun. Trust feels like a verb. It shows action. It takes a step of faith. Brother David, put this chair down here for me. And thank you for doing that, Brother David. You're always so kind to me. And this chair right here, I notice it is wide. That's good. Well, this chair right here, I believe it's a chair. It looks like a chair. It's got a back. It's got a seat. It's got four legs. I believe it's a chair. But I just trusted in the chair. I didn't check out the mechanical workings of this chair. I just plopped myself in it. And I just trusted that it would hold me up and keep me from falling and support me. By the way, I weigh well over 200 pounds. Pastor, how much do you weigh? None of your business. I was in a funeral the other day in Cedartown, Georgia. And there's a big crowd, and I was on one side of the church. This old lady was on the other side of the church, and she hollered at me in front of everybody and said, "Hey, Brother Barry, is that you? You gained so much weight. I couldn't even tell if it was you or not." You know what I said? "God bless you, sister." I wanted to punch her. I know you can't punch a lady, but I wanted to. David, you and Tammy like to go hiking, and I do too, believe it or not. This chubby preacher likes to go hiking. And last October, I went on probably the greatest hike that I've ever been on, up in the mountains of Tennessee, right on the North Carolina line there. Went to Gatlinburg, and it was 13 miles. And to look it up sometime, guys, it's called Charlie's Bunyan. And the bunyan is a rock outcropping. It's a big rock formation, and when I finally got there, I said, "Yeah, there it is. I believe that's a rock." But, you know, if you go on a long hike like that, you got to get a picture so you can brag about it and let everybody see it. So, man, I climbed up on that thing. It was a little bit scary because on the other side, it's just a sheer drop-off, and behind it is this panoramic, majestic view of the beautiful Smoky Mountains. Well, I trusted that that rock could hold me up and support me. Some of y'all tonight, I guess everybody, has got an automobile. You've got a car, or you've got a truck, or you've got a van maybe. And you say, "I believe it's a car. I believe it's a truck." But that's not good enough. You got to get in it. You got to drive it. And it takes you from point A to point B. That's kind of what trust is. It's getting in on faith and moving from point A to point B. Tony Evans said it this way: trust is moving from the natural to the supernatural. Matthew chapter 14 is one of the greatest stories in the New Testament. Jesus walks on the water, but Peter did too. Not only was Peter walking on the water, he's walking on the Word. And I thought about it, Brother Wayne. Over there in the ship, there's a bunch of disciples, and I guess all of them except for Judas believed. I mean, they all believed in Jesus, their followers. But only loudmouthed Peter trusted and got out of that boat and got in on faith and took a step to get to Jesus. Are you starting to see the difference between believing and trusting? Now, to get saved, I just believe. He's already done all the work. But in my sanctification day in, day out, I've got to trust. I've got to learn to trust Him. Wayne and Mike and Randy, all these preachers have no doubt used this sermon illustration. Everybody's used it. Charles Blondin was a Frenchman who worked for the circus. He was an acrobat, and his specialty, though, was walking the tightrope. Charles Blondin went to Niagara Falls, and he stretched out a tightrope 1,500 feet over those raging waters, and that tightrope was 2 inches wide. Charles Blondin was not only an acrobat, he was a showman. He was a businessman. So he invited many people to come and charged them a price to get in. And he said, I'm going to walk across the tightrope onto the other side. And he said, how many of you think I can do it? How many of you believe I can do it? They said, man, you're crazy. You're going to fall. You're going to die. And that's really why they came, Brother Randy, just to see him fall. There's people that come to the Baptist church just to watch people fall. Brother Milan, he took a big old long pole to kind of help him balance. And he never skipped a beat. He just sauntered across that tightrope like it was nothing. He just walked across that thing. And on the other side over there, everybody was oohing and aahing. They said, wow, look what he's done. Then he started inviting more people. Hundreds and thousands began to come. And he's charging a price. He's making a lot of money. And he starts to add little tricks to it. He hangs off of that thing backwards, and he does a somersault, and he does a cartwheel on the tightrope, and then he adds a different dimension. He blindfolds himself and walks across. He walks backward on the tightrope, and he even one time pushed a wheelbarrow across the tightrope. And then one day, when he had his largest crowd of all, he asked this question. How many of you believe that I can carry a man on my back and walk across that tightrope? And they all said, oh yeah, we believe you can do that. We got faith in you. We've seen what you can do. Yeah, we believe that. And then he said this, can I get a volunteer? And it was silent. No one spoke a word. I thought about it, Brother Wayne. Everybody believes in the crowd. But none of them seem to trust. Trust is individual. I want to read this again. I wrote it down. Belief is for the crowd. Trust is for the individual. Belief is general. Trust is specific. Belief is for them. Trust is for me. Belief is public. Trust is personal. Belief is a noun. Trust is a verb. Number one, the definition of trust. Number two, I'm trying to wind down. The difficulty of trust. The difficulty of trust. What makes trust so hard? It's not easy, y'all. It's complicated. It's complex. I know it sounds good, but it's harder than it sounds. What makes it so hard? I need to remind you about that father that's got a son. Helpless, hopeless, heartbroken. No one has an answer. He's been here, there, everywhere. No one can provide any healing or deliverance. He brings him to Jesus. This boy has a suicidal, self-destructive spirit. Look at verse number 21 of our passage. Mark 9, verse 21. Jesus asked his father, how long has this devil been here? How long? How long ago was it since the spirit came into him? And that father said, he was just a little child. Now, Brother Wayne, you know me. I like exegesis. I don't like eisegesis. I don't want to read too much into the text, but allow me just to make a statement here. I don't know this, but I know this is a man that's just like us. And maybe he was thinking to himself, that was just a little innocent boy. Just a little child. He didn't deserve this. This ain't right. This isn't fair. And maybe he was blaming God. I know that don't sound spiritual. That's not spiritual talk, but it's real talk. Maybe he's blaming God. And then notice verse number 22. Oftentimes, this devil has cast him into the fire and into the waters. It's trying to kill him. It's trying to destroy him. I got word the other day that one of our 14, 15-year-old girls has been cutting. Self-destructive behavior. I don't understand that. But I believe that's what we find in verse number 22. But now here's the problem. Here's what makes trust so hard. Look at that verse again, verse number 22. He says, Jesus, if you can do anything, if you're able to do anything. He doesn't say if you will. He says if you can. That just sounds like lack of faith to me. And again, I come down hard on this man, but I got to thinking about it. My soul, I do the same thing. Jesus, I know you did it for them, but I'm not sure if you'll do it for me. I know you're omnipotent, all-powerful. I know you're omniscient, all-knowing. But I'm not sure if you'll work it out in my life. Am I the only one that thinks stuff like that? And this man places a condition on it. And then in verse 23, Jesus answers with his own condition. He says, if you believe, all things are possible to him that believes. Matthew 19, 26. With men it's impossible, but with God all things are possible. The Hayes family are down here tonight, and we've got lots of singers in our church, and there's a tenor singer in our church. His name is Peyton. He can sing very, very good, clean tone. Sounds like Kirk Talley used to sing. And he sent me a text the other day. He's going through some stuff. And boy, this was a strange question. This is what he said. Pastor, do you always trust God? And you know, I wanted to sound churchy and religious and all. I wanted to fire back to him on text, why, of course I do. But the Holy Spirit said, you better not lie. So I texted him back, probably the most unspiritual answer that I could give. No, I don't. I don't always trust God. I always believe Him. Sometimes I have a hard time trusting Him. But 2,000 years earlier, there was a man just like me who was just honest with the Lord. And he said, Jesus, in verse 24, I believe, but you're going to have to help me with my unbelief. And that may not be a real spiritual answer, but it's an honest answer. And you know what happened? Jesus honored it. He knew the man was telling the truth. So Jesus does exactly what that father's been begging for years. He cast out the devil, heals that boy, delivers that boy, performs a miracle, and raises him up. Number one, the definition of trust. Number two, the difficulty of trust. Lastly, the display of trust. The display of trust. Verse 23. If you can believe, all things are possible to him that believes. I'm just going to say that to you tonight, what Jesus said. If you can believe, all things are possible to those of us who believe. In verse 24, the father of the child cried out. He's weeping. He's sobbing. Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. Brother Wayne, you know the story about my wife. I've talked to you about it confidentially for many years. Very professional speech-language pathologist, later an assistant principal, climbing the ladder, probably going to be the next principal. At the age of 40, she has to go out on disability. Autoimmune. What is that? I didn't know what it was. Just get over it. Get better. And all these years later, She rarely leaves the house. And I can always tell you what to do. But I don't know what to do myself. If somebody would just give me a check-off list, an ABC, a 1, 2, 3, I would do it. I would check it all off. But the Holy Spirit always gives me the same answer. Just trust me. You don't have to understand it. You don't have to have it figured all out. You don't have to know the timetable. You don't have to know the why. You don't have to have all the answers. Just trust me. I was talking to Mike Stone today on the phone. He'll be preaching tomorrow night. He's phenomenal. Mike, if you're watching right now, I'm talking about you. And I said, Mike, I'm going to tell you something. Again, not spiritual. But ever since this COVID thing started in March, I've had such an uneasiness in my spirit. And Brother Wayne, I'm not bragging, but usually I have pretty good discernment. I usually kind of have an insight of what's happening. On this thing, I don't have a clue. Every pastor I talk to, I don't know what's going on. You hear this person say this, that person say that. There's so much confusion and God, what is going on? I just want to go to church with my family and my congregation. And the Holy Spirit keeps whispering to me, you don't have to have all the answers. Just trust me. And there's somebody here tonight. You got a family situation. You got a job situation. You got a wayward grandchild. Just trust him. Louisa Stead was happily married, and they had a 4-year-old daughter, her and her husband, named Lily. When Lily was 4 years old, Louisa Stead and her husband went out to the beach at Long Island, New York. A boy was crying, help, help, help. He was in trouble. He was drowning in the Atlantic Ocean. That brave husband rushed over to save him, protect him. But all too often, as it happens in those situations, that boy, just so fearful, pulled him under and he drowned and the boy drowned. And Louisa Stead and her 4-year-old daughter Lily were on the beach looking on in horror as their husband and their daddy drowned in those waters. After that, they had no way to support themselves. They lived in poverty, had barely just enough to survive, just enough to eat, but God always provided. 4 years later, Louisa Stead and Lily moved to South Africa and became wonderful missionaries and won many people to the Lord Jesus. You say, Pastor, I've never heard of Louisa Stead. No, but you've heard her song. 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take Him at His word, just to rest upon His promise, just to know, thus saith the Lord. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust Him, how I proved Him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust Him more. So tonight, I came and told you that I do believe. And God is helping me to learn how to trust. What about you? Can we pray? Lord, been such a sweet night. It always is. Love to be with Brother Wayne, Miss Beth, Brother David. It's always so good to see Mike sitting in the back over there. So good to see Randy tonight. Love him so much. Good to be with my dad. Good to hear the Mylan Hayes family. My goodness. But Lord, now here's kind of where the rubber meets the road. And I know we can pray in our seat. We can just pray wherever. Somebody may want to come. I don't know exactly how the invitation works, but I know this. If you'll be honest, you're probably a lot like me and a lot like this father in Mark chapter 9. You have no trouble believing God for all those big things He did in the Bible, but maybe you're having a hard time believing God for the big things in your life. You know that He gets involved in those situations in the Scripture, but you're just kind of struggling to believe that God will get involved in your situation, whatever it is. So I want to tell you tonight, beloved, you don't have to have it all figured out. You don't have to understand it all. But I believe the message is for you too. God says, just trust me. Just trust me. And Lord, we'll praise you and thank you for this good time together. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Brother Wayne.